From news of a new Chick-fil-A to the approval of turning a vacant church into 20 apartments and more plans to celebrate America's 250 right here in the city of Milford, we thought it was a good time to check in with Mayor Rich Smith for all the details, all the happenings in the great city of Milford. He joins us back on the show. Mayor Smith, welcome. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Melissa.
I'm glad to have you here. I don't know where you want to start. I did see that earlier this month you guys had a conversation with the mayor, which I think sounded like a really great success, at least on the Milford Facebook page that I was reading about. One of the things you guys covered was the new Chick-fil-A that's coming to the Milford Crossing, that Walmart Plaza in the city. Talk to us a little bit about this.
Well, see, it's really part of a larger issue for me. I came in to office realizing that we're going through an economic, really transformative time, right? Retail is dying. Our post road, a lot of the shops and small businesses are no longer there. We've got to decide who we are to keep our taxes down. Who are we going to be and what's our economic engine going forward? Bringing in commercial businesses like Chick-fil-A are a part of that answer. Is we need to continue to attract new business here and make it easy to do business in Milford. Unfortunately, it's had a reputation of being difficult to do business here. I'm attempting to change that. Chick-fil-A is a good example. They had to come back two or three times, but we finally got it passed. There were some parking lot issues that they wanted to work through, but it's one in a long list of opportunities I want to make sure we seize.
So I have a couple things with this, Mayor Smith, which Chick-fil-A is incredibly popular. I think you have a lot of followers. And honestly, the things that you're citing in Milford are very similar to the other communities. I can remember this being a huge issue in Fairfield. I remember it being a huge issue in Shelton before Chick-fil-A eventually got approval. And so the parking lot, for people who are not familiar, is this going to be in the section that is more home goods? Is this in the section that's more Walmart? Is this in the section that's more Barnes & Noble? Because to me, there's three different or even four different parking lots within a big parking lot complex. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's over near Barnes & Noble. So when you come in from the Post Road and that entranceway from the Post Road, it's right there on your left. And that's some of the parking. That's where some of the parking lot issues were. I mean, the parking lot, I think it's no secret, is difficult to navigate when I go in there. And so the city was trying to get Chick-fil-A to address some of the pre-existing parking lot issues, if you will. And they did accommodate a lot of the city's requests. So that was the back and forth, make sure there's proper crosswalks and there's a bunch of logistical issues that they worked through with us. But that is going to be right really in front of Barnes & Noble.
So my other question is, you feel like this is going to be a good location for Chick-fil-A considering, and again, I'm not knocking Chick-fil-A. I want to make that super, super clear. As I mentioned, I think it has a huge following. I think that you've heard people in Milford who are excited for it to be here. But the location of it is interesting because directly, I'd say behind it, across the street from it, whatever you want to call it, is Raising Cane's. Literally one complex down from Raising Cane's, you've got Dave's Hot Chicken. And then like three complexes down from that, you've got Haven Hot Chicken. We got a lot of chicken spots, literally all within. I'm just saying, and listen, I love my chicken. Okay, so I'm good with it, but I'm just curious. Are you worried about the success for Chick-fil-A in that location, considering it has a lot of competition right there?
You know, it's funny you say that, because somebody did say at public comments, Milford's got too much chicken. I think the market will support it. I think Chick-fil-A is smart enough and their business plans do look at the market demographics before they make an investment. And a lot of people are eating chicken. You know, the buzz in the fitness world is protein. Everybody wants protein. Well, let's say that you can come to Milford and get a lot of chicken protein in a short period, within a mile. So I don't really worry about Chick-fil-A being successful in that location. And I drive by Raising Cane's, and the cars are unfortunately out in the road. They're so popular. So I think there's a big market there.
No, there certainly is. But do you worry at all then? The other side of it is not so much the success, but do you also worry at all about the traffic in that area? To your point, it is insanely busy when you come off of, I'm trying to think of what even that is. It would it be Woodmont Road where it meets, it's past obviously Rose's
Redbush, Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that area is Red Bush Lane. Yes. That area is always so congested just because you're talking about entering into a major shopping complex. You're also talking about Raising Cane's right there, a major intersection where the Boston Post Road is always busy. Do you worry about the traffic getting worse in that area, or you guys have done studies on that?
Yeah, no, I'm not worried. And what's different about Chick-fil-A as opposed to Raising Cane is it's in the parking lot, so people are going to be able to pull into that shopping mall and be off the road, unlike Raising Cane, where you're really pouring out on the Post Road. But listen, I've lived in Milford all my life. That Post Road's always busy on a Saturday, and I guess that's a good thing, right? As much as I'm not a big fan of sitting in traffic, it also means people are out frequenting our stores.
True. True. Interestingly enough, and we've got Milford Mayor Rich Smith here talking about all the things happening in Milford. Milford also has been in the news a lot lately for speed cameras. They just rolled out their speed camera enforcement program during Memorial Day weekend. We are in the warning period. Full disclosure, I've already gotten one warning. I'm going to tell you that. Yes, I have. I was going at 36 and a 25, Mayor Smith. So note taken. I've got it. But I am curious. One of the cameras are set up near the mall, which I'm going to get to the mall in a minute. But do you think we're going to, granted, I don't think they could do anything until the plan is up for 3 years. But do you think eventually we're going to need more cameras on the Boston Post Road? To your point, it's slammed. I'd say even beyond Saturday. I feel like it's always slammed.
Yeah. Well, right now we don't have any on the Post Road itself. We have one up on Woodruff. But right now the DOT is not, we've not reached an agreement to put them on the state road yet. So I think we have five or six, four of which are in school zones. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to have a hard time watching my speed limit. But I can't argue with the idea that we want to ensure safety. Mm-hmm. And so I think the limit it's 11 miles over the speed limit. So people should be able to comply with that. Well, I think we had 5,000 violations in 2 days, the first 2 days.
Really? I was waiting for Milford to release something. I know Fairfield had over 100,000 in the first couple of weeks of warnings.
Yeah.
So I was wondering where Milford was landing. 5,000 in the first 2 days. I bet a bunch of them are on Woodruff. I guarantee you most of them are on Woodruff. I swear.
Well, and hopefully it changes behavior. I know it has for me already. It raises our awareness of our speed. So, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Now, Milford Mayor Rich Smith is here. And, you know, speaking of local policing, one of the things that you did address in your recent conversations with the mayor segment was the differences between Milford's new speed camera program and the Flock license plate reader program, because that has been one concern that I know we've actually tackled here personally on WICC. We've had some Milford residents concerned about that, the Connecticut data sharing laws that are now in effect and all of that. Do you mind just addressing that really quickly, the difference between the two? Because I know when I got my warning, they do send you a picture of the back of your car, your license plate, all of that. So I do know there are concerns and good concerns surrounding that.
Yeah, so the speed cameras are one thing, right? It's basically a radar checking your speed. And it's same things we have on highways now and at toll booths and so forth. So that's a company called Ultimate, unlike Flock, which is the license plate reader. And a lot has happened in that space because of civil liberties concerns and so forth. First of all, remember, your license plate is in public, exposed every day. But how we handle that data and share, or more importantly, don't share that data. And our Chief Mello, has been really a leader in this space to help write the legislation to ensure that data is not shared without explicit agreement and consent. Flock originally would deploy their cameras, and the default was that your data was being shared with all other Flock users. You had to opt out of that. Now they flipped the model, and now you have to opt into sharing. So the default is you are not sharing. And so that's done a lot, and as you cited, some legislation to further protect people's privacy has been enacted, or is pending a vote with the state legislature. So Milford's way ahead of that. So a lot of these concerns have been addressed and mitigated. So, and I think at the end of the day, the ability of these cameras to be tools in the use of crimes. I mean, it's the only time in how long we could keep the data. All of that is prescribed in legislation and even within internal policies. So that data is released, I forget exactly, a short period of time that we hold on to it. So we've done everything we can to ensure the privacy of that information and really the ephemeral nature of that, that it will be deleted quickly unless it's needed in an investigation of a crime.
We are chatting with Milford Mayor Rich Smith. A lot of news headlines coming out of the city, and we're trying to tackle as many as we can. I wanted to go to another headline regarding a vacant church now turning into housing. Milford recently approving plans to convert a church into 20 apartments. Tell us about this, Mayor Smith.
Well, as you probably know, it was done under 830G, which is a state statute that gives folks a right to really deny local zoning regs. It has been a thorn in our side for a long time. We did have a moratorium at one point that protected us from 830G. But since then, we haven't done enough to achieve a moratorium, which is about 10% of your total house units need to be affordable. But we have a new DPLU director in Milford, and she and I and a team of others meet weekly to discuss how we can address this, because we think we can address affordable housing without having to shut down local zoning regs and change the character of our city. So it's a big deal to us. It's something that is front and center in my weekly discussions with my team. So this is an example of that. This is a little different because they're staying within the existing structure. But I know some folks have said they're concerned with traffic. It's not far from Bridgeport Avenue. It's one block off. So any 830G gives me pause. But this one is 20 units. I think it is one studio, 9 one-bedroom, and 10 two-bedroom units. Three of those, and the way 830G works is you qualify for affordable if your income is at a certain level. For instance, three of those units will be sold at 80% of market value. If 80% of market value if your AMI, your area marginal income, qualifies, and three will be at 60%. So, 830G is still an issue with us, and we're coming up with some creative ways to address it.
So this is the former United Church of Christ, by the way, on Pequot Street, for people who don't know the location we're talking about. And it's pretty neat because what came with the building, to your point, Mayor Smith, is there was, I should say, there was a lift for people with disabilities. So not only are we creating an opportunity, it sounds like, for a mix of 1 and 2 bedroom units, but with some set aside as affordable, but you're also talking about it's complying with the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is great as well. I mean, there's a lot about this property that is very unique, but to transform it into housing, you know, I could see where that is a good fit. It makes a lot of sense. And I kind of want to go to just one more thing before we do run out of time, which is kind of reimagining and re-looking at something else in the city of Milford, and that is the mall revitalization. There have been a lot of talks for many years, past administrations, that have included what can we do to make the mall more, not even attractive, but just, you know, have more people want to go there, maybe look at it a different way, or change the way that the mall is functioning. And I wanted to get kind of a status of plans for reviving the mall.
And I may have shared this with you in the past. When I was mayor in 23, I sat down with Centennial, who owns the mall, and we actually did come up with some renderings, some plans to revitalize it. And the plan then was to tear down from Macy's and Boscoff's all the way back to Sears, turn that into an outdoor-facing mall with a town green. And to your point, it needs to be an experience. People need to go there not just to shop, but because it provides something else. When I left in 23, the discussion with Centennial ended, and they went dark. Fortunately, I was able to get them back to the table about 3 weeks ago. So we have begun discussions. They are back in the planning stage. My concern is we're going to have housing there. I need to be sure, and I'm determined that any housing we do in that has to be integrated in with the mall. So it's not a housing project off here and the mall over here, and they're separate. I'm looking similar to what we came up with when I was here last time, that they were multi-use buildings. They were retail downstairs, apartments upstairs, in the outdoor-facing part of the mall. So we're at the table. We're going to start looking at design options. We're having a dialogue, but they're back at the table, which is critical, something they haven't been in 3 years.
And the with the mall revitalization, obviously, I know you're very into public input. Do we know at this point when we can anticipate to have public hearings or at least discussions where people can also give their concerns, but also input? Because I think people are excited about the mall. I know I personally love the mall, not so much for the shopping, but I do love some of the new things that have come to the mall and even some that have stayed alive, like the movie theater there. So I'm all about this property staying alive and well and just growing. But are there going to be opportunities for people to weigh in and be part of the conversation?
Oh, there will be. That piece of property is so vital to our future that it can't be compromised. I'm not going to let it become a housing project and then a separate mall. We saw what happened in Trumbull. That's why the integration is so important to me. But the possibilities, a lot of people have told me they've heard the rumor, and it's not only rumor, that Costco is looking to move down there from their current location. None of these things are set in stone, but there's a lot of options to make the experience of going to that mall unique and something that families want to go to. The way I left the design 3 years ago was you could bring your blanket and sit on the town green. There could be music. There could be experiences out in that green. So that's what I'm looking for, to create an experience that people want to go there. It becomes a draw in Milford.
Milford Mayor Rich Smith, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. We're going to be right back. You're listening to WICC, the Voice of Connecticut.